Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does that word first mean to you? One part of a greater whole? One who leads the way that others may follow? Or how about this one? Being before all others with respect to time, order, rank, or importance. According to Levitical law, the first fruits, the earliest portion of the harvest, was to be sacrificed to God in thanks for and in anticipation of the full harvest to come. In our epistle reading today, Paul reminds believers that God's mercy in Christ Jesus is theirs, and that no amount of suffering, no amount of difficulty can take away their salvation. Paul speaks of Jesus' death. He speaks of Jesus rising from the dead. Paul speaks of Jesus appearing physically after rising from the dead to more than 500 people at the same time. He taught of Jesus appearing physically to the 12 and finally to Paul himself. In these things, Paul declares Jesus to be the first fruits of the eternal harvest yet to come. In that day, as is written in 1 Thessalonians, God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus being the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep is the very foundation of the conversation in our readings today about being blessed or being cursed. For the one who turns from God, as Jeremiah has warned, has chosen to forfeit the blessings of eternal life and chosen for himself or herself an eternity of woes. The Lord had solemnly warned his chosen people when he brought them out of slavery in Egypt, persistently warning them to obey his voice. But by the time of Jeremiah, a conspiracy had begun among the descendants of those the Lord had brought out of Egypt. The men of Judah and Jerusalem turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, refusing to listen to God's word, making for themselves false gods, and the text says, as numerous as the cities of Judah itself. One author even describes the number of false gods and their shrines as numerous as the city streets in Jerusalem, as if there's a shrine to a false god in every corner. The descendants of those the Lord had rescued from slavery in Egypt were still planted in the land he had promised them. They were the tree planted by the water that Jeremiah spoke about, rooted in the streams of living water and abiding in God's word. They didn't need to fear. But the people, having given themselves over to momentary pleasure and instant gratification of the flesh, had forfeited the eternal blessings of God, leaving their souls to die of thirst in the uninhabited, parched places of spiritual wilderness. And as I thought about those things, have you ever gone on a drive in mid to late summer around here? If you have, maybe you've noticed the cottonwood trees along the Republican River, how they still look pretty good. The leaves are still supple, there's still water for them. But if you look just a few hundred yards to the north or to the south, the shrubs that stand exposed to the sun, they look pretty thirsty. The curse of which Jeremiah warned is like that. You don't have to be separated too far from the Lord before you see a parched land. Now the curse of which Jeremiah speaks may seem kind of harsh, but I'll give you just a little snippet of the problem that was going on. Jeremiah 16, just a few verses. The Lord commanded Jeremiah to say to them, to his people, "Because your fathers have forsaken me, declares the Lord, and have gone after other gods and have served and worshiped them and have forsaken me and have not obeyed kept my law, and because you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, every one of you follows his own stubborn evil will, refusing to listen to me, therefore I will hurl you out of this land End of quote. He was throwing them a lifeline. But rather than turning back to the Lord in repentance, the descendants that God had freed from Egypt, they chose Egypt as their ally to fight against the only God who had ever listened to them or would ever hear their cries for mercy. There's an old saying that says, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. When the people allied themselves with a pagan nation, they allied themselves with the gods of that pagan nation. Lifeless objects of stone and wood. Things that cannot hear their cries for help. And so because they had turned their backs on the Lord, there was no one to hear their cries for help. And as I considered these things, I had to ask myself, where would I rather spend a hot summer afternoon? Under the shade of a mighty cottonwood near the Republican River? Or huddled next to and sharing the heat of summer with some dried up shrub under the scorching sun? For as Jeremiah has warned, the one who turns away from the Lord is no longer like a tree planted by the stream, but has made himself or herself like a shrub in the wilderness, in a wasteland. In choosing to ignore that which is right and good according to God's will, the people of Judah and Jerusalem had chosen for themselves life in the wasteland of exile, separated from God and country. They say nothing is new under the sun. And so in our gospel reading today, as Jesus descended the mountain, his eyes beheld a great multitude, the descendants of those he had rescued from slavery in Egypt. Just kept going on and on. They were like sheep without a shepherd, confused by false teachers, harassed by various diseases, and vexed by evil spirits. As the text says, a great multitude of people from Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, the entire region of Judea, had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases and their unclean spirits. The whole multitude sought to touch Jesus, and when he attended to their physical needs, he turned his attention to their spiritual needs. Blessed are you when you cannot find in yourself nor in the world that which can truly delight the soul. Blessed are you indeed, for your soul's delight is in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you feel deep distress of sins and their consequences. Blessed indeed are you, for Jesus has taken from you the punishment of sin. He's removed that punishment and taken it on himself. For these reasons, Jesus chose 12 men, 12 apostles, that they would go out and tell of the cross and empty tomb, that they would go out and tell of God's grace and God's mercy, that generations like us might know that they are blessed by God, even in the midst of difficulty. Difficulty has a way of hiding that from us, but even still, we are blessed by God. When the world tries to force you to keep your faith to yourself or keep it only to Sunday morning, when the church feels like the only place where you can safely express your beliefs, when people of the world take and take and take, never offering you mercy, there's still a reason for joy. For the Lord and his mercy are yours. And that's something that neither people nor the world can take from you. As I studied this week, I read of a pastor back in the day, back in 1997. And I can't believe I'm saying back in the day for 1997. How quickly that went. But this pastor wrote a little bit of a narrative in a chapter of a book written by a naturalist author who prided himself on speculating. He prided himself on speculating possible symbolic aspects of stuff that he sees in people and in the world. And it was the title of that chapter of that book that caught my interest. And the chapter is entitled Star Thrower, or The Star Thrower. In that chapter, the author tells of an incident that happened on a tropical beach. It's not where I thought he was going with it at all. During a certain time of day, the surf would cast shellfish up onto the shore. And as the tide would recede, professional collectors and sellers would greedily descend upon that beach, swooping up all the shellfish that they could find, carting them home, boiling them up, cleaning the living creatures out of them so that they could sell the shells. They would take and they would take and they would take until there was no life left on that beach. But the author goes on to say, well, he goes on to speak of one. Well, on the far end of that same beach, he saw one lone figure stooping down and scooping things up, picking up starfish and tossing them back out into the ocean. So he asked, do you collect as well? Only like this, as he grabbed another starfish and tossed it back out into the sea, I collect only for life. In the midst of a world where multitudes callously exploit others for their own benefit, into this world came one solitary figure. He moved among the debris of humanity, the brokenness, the lostness. His mission was one of rescuing. His mission was one of reclaiming and restoring those who lay helpless, stranded on the shore, tossed by the storms of life. His name is Jesus. He gave himself as a ransom for you and for me. In him is our freedom. In him is our life. His voice calls from the cross, Father, forgive them. His voice echoes from the empty tomb, saying, it is finished. And he calls to each of you and to me, saying, come follow me. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Blessed indeed is the one whose trust is the Lord. You need not fear the heat nor the unbelievers of this parched wasteland. Lift high the cross of your faith. Serve others as you have been served. Extend your hand to the lost. Extend your hand to those tossed about by the storms of life. Speak of God's mercy to those who lay stranded and helpless, tossed about by the storms of life with no one to hear their cries for help. Speak to those who perish eternally. Tell them all that the Lord has done for you. Did you know that Jesus died on a cross for you? He did. All your sins are gone. For in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Jesus is the first fruits, the earliest portion of the full harvest yet to come. In him, God's mercy is yours. In him, your eternity is secure. And so as we walk through this spiritual wasteland, let us each one, by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit, become star throwers like him. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.